This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Coming up, we ask scientists about the scientific ideas they target for an early retirement. But first, as you slide your bags past the scanner, you put your shoes back on, head down the airport concourse to your gate, take a moment to look outside. See all that open space? No, not the concrete that the planes are rolling on, but the space around the runways, next to the control tower. That buffer land set up between the airport and the other properties. Doesn't seem like a great natural habitat, does it? But at several airports around the world, hundreds of thousands of creatures are calling that space home. We're talking bees. Yeah, it started in Germany, but now several U.S. cities have beehives habituating airports. Joining me now is Bob Redman. He's a beekeeper and executive director of the Common Acre. That's a group that has partnered with SeaTac Airport in Seattle to set up an airport apiary. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ira.
How many bees are we talking about out there?
Well, in reality, you said hundreds of thousands, but it's really in the millions.
Millions? How many millions?
Yeah. Well, it varies.
How many hives do you have?
We have 25 hives, and then in addition to those, you have to include all of the wild bees in the area as well.
Wow. So you have the residential bees, and then the interlopers are coming in.
Exactly.
How did you get started with this?
Well, I read about Chicago O'Hare's efforts to keep bees, and as a beekeeper and an ecologist, I thought, what can we do here in Seattle?
And so you went out to the airport, and they said, what a great idea. Let's do this tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, tomorrow plus a year and a half, but it was really, it was pretty amazing because I kept throwing ideas at them. Yeah. Can we put some honeybee hives at the airport? Can inside the perimeter fence? Can we put an art exhibit inside the main terminal? And oh yeah, since that golf course is closing, can we plant that all with pollinator habitat? And each step along the way, they kept saying yes. They've been a great partner.
Wow, you know, if you look out at an airport, the land doesn't look like it's a great habitat. These scrubby grass, that kind of stuff. Is that actually good for the bees? Do they like that?
Yeah, well, and I think there's a human element, too, that we need to make it good for them. But that's, I think, something that people living in cities have to start to consider now, which is more than backyard gardens or even parking strips. What land is available to make an agricultural use out of? And so we're looking at land at the airport, land under power lines with the electric utilities, medians, and corporate land. There's a lot of land that we can do something with.
So you're saying then that this isn't a project that's just about honeybees. It's about using all that land for agriculture.
Absolutely, Ira. The honeybee is sort of the poster child for bees. And when people think, I want to save the bees, they think of that one first. But in reality, there are 4,000 species of bees in North America, and only one of them is the honeybee. Granted, we do the most with that bee. It's the only species, or not the only, but it's the main species of bee that we do depend on for agricultural pollination. But the point of this project is to look at the whole picture, and that's why we're planting pollinator habitat. We have the first 20 acres underway, and we're studying what kinds of bees are even there because a lot of that data isn't even available yet.
Well, what kind of stuff do you plant that you think the bees would like?
Well, it's a mix of trees and shrubs and flowers, and we're also trying to there's a couple other things that are trying to happen. We're trying to keep out invasive species. But bottom line, we prepared a list of 100 plants for the airport, and we're in the first wave of putting some of those in, and those include big leaf maple, some native willow to this area, a bunch of ceanothus, California lilac. These are all really good plants for a variety of pollinators.
Well, if you've got 25 hives, you've got a fair amount of honey coming out of that. What happens to the honey? You take it home?
We process that. We basically put it into jars. There isn't any real processing to it besides that. And we sell that to help underwrite some of the costs. All those artists that I mentioned, they all got paid to be part of this project. We want to support them, and there's a lot of work that has to go on to do these scientific studies. And so the port is doing that mainly, but we're supplementing that with sales of the honey.
Now, I know that you have other urban hives. How do the airport hives compare to those?
Well, it's really interesting because this isn't agricultural land and there's nothing on it, in fact, by design, that is supposed to produce food. So the bees are foraging wild forage. And granted, a lot of that here is blackberry because that's an invasive species. But besides that, it's a lot of what would be normally considered weeds, like fireweed, or there's echinacea, or other things that grow out in the wild. Dandelions, clover, which nobody's really tending. In an agricultural setting, you'd get, you know, plans like we want these fruit trees to be pollinated, or we want this set of things that we're growing in our gardens in the city to be pollinated. And the honeys taste different. The airport honey tastes wild and kind of woody and grassy, and the backyard honeys taste sweeter and more fruity.
Yeah, there's an amazing range of, my brother is a beekeeper, an amazing range of flavors and natural and raw honey. But being on an airport, one of my first thoughts was it's a great spot. You know, I've heard of other beekeepers. I've heard of people even putting goats, right? Goats to keep control of weeds on highway medians even. Is there any worry, though, at an airport, which is full of fumes, the exhaust from all those jet planes? Any worry that you're contaminating the bees or the honey or the stuff that they're eating?
Sure. There's a lot of fuel being burned at the airport, just like there would be on any freeway. And the interesting thing, though, is that the airport is really highly regulated for that stuff. And the airport themselves would give you the details on how that happens. But I can tell you that on my site, I've seen so much wildlife. I've seen coyotes. There's a salmon run behind one of our apiaries, wild songbirds, rabbits.
Wow.
There's a lot of biodiversity there, kind of all up and down the food chain. And this honey has actually been lab tested to be negative for any heavy metals, which is better than some of the honeys that we've tested from the city.
So let's say there's an airport administrator or some official at a city who's listening to us now and wants to get involved in putting beehives in their airport. Give them some advice.
Well, my first advice is don't worry about honeybees. Worry about what is in the ground and what's happening in the soil and what plants are coming out of it. That's the first thing that anybody can do. And it's probably the most beneficial for the native insect communities that are already there. That's how to bolster them. What we did with the honeybees was kind of make it part of a program, because we know once you put a picture up of an airplane and a bunch of honeybees flying around, people are going to say, "What is that?" And it's just, you know, it's not as sexy if you put a handful of tube nesting or ground nesting bees that you can hardly see. And what's the story? They're out in the field. So we're kind of crafting a story here, but it doesn't necessarily depend on honeybees. And our hope is that it won't have to.
Are there airports doing? Has this caught on all around the world?
Well, I can tell you, as you mentioned, it originated in Germany, and they are testing air quality by testing the honey there. That's something that they've done. In the United States, O'Hare's initial focus was on employee training, how to train people to be beekeepers, and not any people either. It was former prisoners, so I'm trying to teach them a new skill, and I know they've been really successful at that. And then our focus is on ecological development and urban agriculture. And yeah, I've gotten a lot of inquiries from places that are interested, people in San Francisco, people in Denver. And I know that St. Louis has some honeybee hives from a commercial beekeeper on their property. So there's different ways to approach it. And the big question is, how do we use our land in a more holistic way?
You know, right here in New York, Kennedy Airport sits on Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge already. There's a big wildlife park there. It would be a great place to put some beehives, I would think.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you heard from them at all? He's shown any interest?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to that group of New York beekeepers yet. The people I know, well, the marriage of urban and agricultural in New York has what I know of is happening a lot in Brooklyn on rooftop beekeeping
right,
and
right.
Just became
legal a little while ago to keep bees in the city.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But there is a lot of land out there that's open but somewhat off limits to people. As I say, the highway medians and such, would that land be suitable for bee projects, you know, if you're driving along?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. There isn't any real utility to grass other than it's easy to maintain. So, you know, immediately I would suggest looking at any kind of areas like that. And speaking of New York, you go back to when the Olmsted brothers planned Central Park in the 19th century, and how important was that decision to what happened to the growth of that city? I think we're facing a similar juncture here where we're looking at increasing urban development and decreasing land availability. So we have to say, what is available, and are we going to really plant it all with grass, or are we going to plant something that can make a difference?
And now that we have colony collapse in so many hives,
An issue. That's an issue primarily with the industrial beekeeping industry, and it's specifically because of the way the industrial food system works, which is highly dependent on monocropping and monopollinating, too, because they only use that one bee. When you start to diversify, those problems go away.
And that's what you're doing, is what you're saying.
That's the gist of this project, is create biodiversity. And not only that, but communicate that to the general public, because as you can appreciate, science is hard to get our heads around sometimes. So we have to tell a story that will really motivate people.
Better words than I could have put it. Thank you. Very well put.
You're very welcome.
Bob Redman is a beekeeper, executive director of the Common Acre. That's in Seattle, Washington, and he was involved at SeaTac Airport out there. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck to your beekeeping.
Thank you very much.